I have the opportunity to coach the girls' volleyball team next door at the junior high school. And I've been doing that now for a little over a year. And as a coach, there are two ways I go about teaching the girls how to play the game of volleyball. One is through verbal instruction, where I'll tell them where their feet are to go, how their arms are to go, how they're to stand, moving around the floor, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's times where I actually have to physically kind of enter the drill or come right onto the floor and show them what I'm expecting them to do to execute particular skills in the game of volleyball. To help you grasp what I mean by this, you're going to join me outside here in just a few moments where my daughter Lauren and I are going to kind of show you this coach-player relationship where I will tell them what I'm asking of them, and then at times when needed, I will actually enter into the drill and show them through my own actions. Let's go outside and we'll do this together. All right, Lauren, so I want you to do a forearm pass back to me. I want you to get your feet wide, put your arms out flat, arms kind of locked together, and we just to pass it back to me, okay? Here we go. I'm going to toss it nice and easy. Make sure your shoulders are square to the target. All right, now here, I want you to toss it to me, and I want you to watch what my feet do, and I want you to watch my arms, and I want you to watch my shoulders, because it's all be square to you, okay? Here we go. Now, if we were to continue on in this conversation and look at Jesus as though he is a coach, so to speak, he himself, through his verbal instruction, teaches his followers how to pray. This was week one of the series. I don't know if you can remember back to that moment in time or not, but we worked through Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is kind of laying out for us the Lord's Prayer, where he says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, how hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if we follow this kind of coaching analogy all the way through, this was Jesus early in his ministry, coaching his followers, his disciples then and now, how we go about praying. Today, we want to go one step further. We will get a glimpse of Jesus while playing in the very game of life, showing us his followers, him using his own words in a very real moment of his life. It would be like me, the coach, stepping onto the floor during a game, showing the girls what my words of instruction look like in real time. If you have a Bible, I would ask you to open to Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46, and just kind of keep your finger there. Because before we read it, I want to take a moment and just kind of set it up and describe some of the different dynamics that are at play kind of in this moment in Jesus' life. It's Passover time. Jesus is having this Passover meal with his disciples, where they are reflecting and remembering on Passover and Exodus. This is the Last Supper, where Jesus takes the Passover meal, the Exodus story, and kind of moves away from looking backwards and is now pointing them out to a coming new Exodus of sorts. This is the meal where the disciples argue as to who is going to be the greatest among them and who can sit where. This is where Peter tells Jesus that he'll never disown him, and Jesus tells him, well, in fact, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. It's after this meal where Jesus and his disciples go out to the Mount of Olives to pray. And we pick up the passage and we read it here where Jesus says this. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So here it is. Jesus, alone on the Mount of Olives, in the game of life, in a place of anguish, in a place of struggle, and here he asks, "If you are willing, please take this cup from me." And it's in this very moment of Jesus' life, in this moment of prayer, where we see Jesus living out his own prayer life, his own words of instruction. "This then is how you should pray. We see the language of our Father when Jesus begins his own prayer by saying, Father. He begins to address the one he knows well and deeply and intimately. He addresses the one who holds all things in his hands. You see the language of your kingdom come when he says, not my will, but your will be done. You see the language of lead us not into temptation when he instructs his disciples, pray that you do not fall into temptation. We see the reality of give us today our daily bread when we see angels coming to Jesus to strengthen him through this moment, giving him all that he's going to need and require that needs the your will and not my own. As much as I think it's neat to see Jesus in the middle of the game of life, praying in the very way he tells us to pray, the part that I really want us to focus in on, the part that I really want us to see is that like Jesus, you and I, we will find ourselves in moments that are filled with anguish. Moments where it might feel like as though everything could collapse around us as we sit under the weight of whatever it is that we're working through. Moments like those days where your spouse has hurt you over and over and over again. And you want out. And you're in anguish about what you should do because you know what the scriptures teach, but you want out and you are in anguish and it's real and it's palpable and it hurts. Moments where your father or mother or a family member who has abused you in your past, that you haven't had a relationship with in years, they've reached out to you and they want to reconcile, they want to make amends, and you don't know what to do. You know what the scriptures speak of when it comes to reconciliation and forgiveness, but you are hurt, you are betrayed, you are struggling, and you're in anguish in this moment. Maybe you're in a dating relationship and you want to engage with the other in a sexual way. Our world is doing it, everyone is encouraging you to, and you know what the scriptures teach on this matter, and you are in anguish about what you should do. Or maybe that moment when you've been given the news that now you are stricken with an incurable, painful disease. Legally, you know that you're allowed to bring your own life to an end, but you have read the scriptures and you see that God is the one who brings and ends life. And you're struggling, you're in anguish as to what you should do. Or maybe you've built your entire life and it is successful and you're wealthy and you have much to lose by practicing generosity and you've come to know Christ and you are confronted with the language of where your heart is or where your treasure is, there your heart is, and you're struggling with releasing your gifts for the furthering of the kingdom of heaven. These are just a few of the moments where you, like Christ himself, might find yourself in the middle of a situation that's filled with turmoil, filled with anguish, where you would be tempted, maybe, to find another way around this thing that's in front of you. And here's where we want to set up camp for the rest of our time today, working through what it means to pray our lives into submission for the glory of God. And to help us do this, a Christ follower, we can't ever forget two particular things. Number one is this: as a Christ follower, we have voluntarily said we are going to follow Jesus' word of instruction where he tells us to deny ourselves and follow. Deny ourselves and follow. This is in Luke 9:23 where Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Or maybe Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. As a Christ follower, we can't ever forget that it begins with the denying of self and follow, denying of self and follow. That each day we get up in the morning, and there's things that we are going to want to do with a heart that's broken, with a heart that's twisted, with a heart that we cannot trust, and it's going to want to take us over here. And I remind myself on an ongoing basis, that might be what I want to do, but that might not at all be what Christ is calling me into. We are submitting ourselves to God as we follow him and walk in obedience each and every day. And as tough as this might be, and this is the second thing we can't forget, that whatever it is, whatever we are working through to submit to God in our lives, He gives us all that we need to see it through to the other side. Just look at this text in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just think of it. Jesus, God, His Son, has entered into the game of life. And in doing so, He has given us real help while we live our game of life, where I can receive mercy, where I can find grace, where I can find the help I need in the moments that I need it. And it's available to us because of Christ. As a volleyball coach, there are many times where I would love to enter into the game, especially when we played against Queen Charlotte. Number 8 would go back to serve, and I would start to pray as the coach. I would pray for 2 things. 1, I would pray that all of the players on the floor would remember everything that I have instructed them to do. And more than that prayer, I would pray that number 8 would make a mistake. Because if she got on a roll, her serves were tough. And before you could blink, you were down 8-9, 10-0. In the game of volleyball, that is almost impossible to come back from. I felt helpless when number 8 would start on a roll, and I would sit on the sideline, and I would call a timeout, and I would pray that she would miss, and I would do all these things trying to rally my girls so that they would remember and practice and do all that we've invited them to do. But I wanted to enter. I wanted to go move a particular player off the floor, take her spot, and show her this is how you get the ball up. I felt helpless as a coach, as I watched them struggle in the middle of the game. God, out of love, He hasn't left us on our own. You need to hear this. If we, like Jesus, His own Son, purposefully are turning to the Father, God, with a heart of not my will but yours, not my ways but yours, and I'm desiring to submit to Him, to trust Him, we will receive help in any moment we find ourselves, just like Christ Himself did. Now, one could rightfully ask, well, what does this help look like? Well, the help is in 4 dominant ways: His Word, His angels, His Spirit, and His church. For the remainder of our time today, I want to work through each one of these just very, very quickly so that you might hear the ways in which God has provided help for us in the middle of our need. Let's work through each one of these. And I want you to hear this language. If we are purposefully turning to the Father, we will receive help in our moment of anguish and need through His Word. In our anguish, in our asking for help, we can find help through the very written Word of God. This is why the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Sometimes our anguish is simply connected to, I honestly don't know where I'm supposed to go. I honestly don't know what I'm supposed to do. I honestly don't know what God says on this particular matter. And we can begin to ask God for help to reveal His ways to us through His written Word. And there's been many times in my life, and I know this is true of yours, where you've opened the words of God, and right in front of you is the clear word from God as to what you are to do in whatever situation you might find yourself in, and we might walk in it. Several weeks ago, I did my first ever night ride out at Brookvale. My son Eden and a friend Simon, we put a LED light on our helmets and one on our bike, and we went into the woods around 9 o'clock at night. And it was dark. This little light in the front of my bike shone just enough to help me navigate a very tricky trail through the woods in the middle of the night. Such is his word to my life. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I might not see where it ultimately is going to go. I might not see ultimately some of the things off to the side, but you've given me enough in front of me through your words that I will walk in step in submission to your ways for your glory and for my joy. His word is like an LED light in the middle of life's anguish to keep us on this path for his glory. If we are purposely turning to the Father, we may receive help in our moments of anguish through the supernatural appearance and aid of his angels. Now, I don't talk about this stuff very often, but it's incredibly real and incredibly true. His angels have in the past and continue to, in our day and age, help us in times of trouble. This is why the author of Hebrews in 1:14 reminds the reader through a rhetorical question, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? We see this getting played out in real life throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, an angel tells Philip where to go and how to get there, and Philip is directed by the angel through and to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 12, Peter has been arrested and has been thrown in jail, and he is in anguish. He's been praying all night, and he falls asleep. And if you read the story, it's really quite remarkable because an angel shows up in the middle of the night, hits him on his leg, wakes him up, and says, "Get up quick. Put your clothes on, put your sandals on, and follow me because I'm going to lead you out." If we are purposefully turning to the Father, to follow in his ways, we will always receive help in our moment of anguish through his Spirit. We will always receive help through his Spirit. Many of us, the moments of anguish and trouble that we are in, it's because we honestly don't know what to say to our families, to our friends, to our spouse. How many times do we have the desire to move in the right direction, but we lack the will or the courage or the strength or the power to do it? We freeze because fear has particularly won that particular moment in our life. We freeze because the task seems too large for us to do on our own. And if we're honest, it's because we forget and doubt the words of Luke 12. Where in verse 12, Jesus tells us that through and by his Spirit, he will give us the words to say in the situations that we would find ourselves in. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do all that Christ instructs us to do. We have been empowered. We have been given an incredible help to help us in these moments of need through the very Spirit of God. If we are purposefully turning to the Father with a heart of not my will, but your will be done, if we are purposefully turning to him, we should receive help through our moments of anguish and need through his church, through his body of people. It is inside the community of faith of Christ followers where we would find encouragement for the journey. Life is hard. It's incredibly hard. And it's inside the community of faith where we are to encourage each other in the middle of a game called life that's filled with strife. It's in the game of life through the church community where we are to discover real and authentic community. The best relationships in the world ought to be inside the body of Christ, where we are known by others, the good, the bad, the ugly, and yet loved and cared for deeply by men and women who love the Lord. It's through his church where we experience abundant, full love from others. A kind of love that the unbelieving world doesn't know or understand. A kind of love that sometimes, quite frankly, that our blood families don't even practice. It's in his church, and this one people struggle with at times, where we are corrected, that we are a group of people together that is about not my will, but your will be done. And when we see someone walk outside of God's ways or design or heart, this is the place where brothers and sisters come alongside each other for the glory of God to say, help me understand what's going on here. Because this isn't how we live as a son, as a daughter of the living God. Church, the one listening online, we find help through His Spirit, through His words, through His church, through supernatural help from angels. And if we're going to be a people who pray and really grasp what that means, then we're a people above all else who know how to pray ourselves into the very will and design and heart of God. Because we are a people who are denying ourselves daily. We are a people who love and pursue God full on, believing that He is right, connected to all matters of life and living. And when this is done well, two things, and we'll end with this. God is glorified. When Jesus in the garden prays to His Father, not my will, but your will be done, and goes to the cross, and then God raises Him, God is glorified in this moment to be right and true and stands over all things in your life, in my life. When I come to the Father with this heart of submission, this heart of not my will, but your will be done, and I walk through it, as painful as it might be, and I come through the other side, God is glorified, whether it be in my life now or in my life in glory, God is glorified. And most of all, and this is the part that we sometimes doubt and wonder, when we do this, when we pray in submission, when we deny ourselves and walk in God's way, we experience life, a life that only comes from Him. Life in the middle of anguish, life in the middle of turmoil, life in the middle of whatever it is that we're in, because there God in a glorious way provides us with what we need. Peace and hope and joy and happiness and contentment and rest. In closing this morning, I want to read to you some passages that have already been read to you this morning. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he had suffered, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My brothers and sisters, my church family, to the one listening online, a people who pray, we are people who willingly, daily, continually bring our hearts before the Lord and pray ourselves into submission. Not my will, but your will be done for your glory, for the furthering of your great name, and so that I might experience life and life to its full. God bless and have a great day.